The irony, though, is that if they succeed, if they actually do tear this country down, dismantle it as they want to, then the luxury and freedom and comfort that they take for granted really will disappear. And they will finally get the authentic version of the oppression that they so desperately want.
Matt Walsh speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Unless we as the rational, we as the moral, we who understand objective truth, objective morality, unless we stand in the way for their sake and for our own.
You can watch and listen to Matt Walsh's presentation, Making the Case Against Woke Culture, with a recording of the 2020 Making the Case conference. We'll send you links to download a podcast and watch a video stream for a tax-deductible contribution of $250. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Who do you love? And will you be loyal to the person you love? And that's what people are finding out, is what all marriages at their root are about. Whether they're marriages of lesbians or gay men or heterosexuals.
Is that what you believe now?
That's what I believe.
And you're comfortable with same-sex marriage now?
I am absolutely comfortable with the fact that men marrying men, women marrying women, and heterosexual men and women marrying men are entitled to the same exact rights, all the civil liberties. And quite frankly, I don't see much of a distinction beyond that.
That's Joe Biden speaking on NBC's Meet the Press in 2012. At the time, he was out ahead of his president, Barack Obama. Barack Obama had not yet changed his mind or publicly changed his mind about same-sex marriage. And of course, Obergefell was still 3 years away that decided same-sex marriage for the rest of us. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris on gay marriage. The Washington Post has recently written a piece outlining their history with the subject. Brian Brown joins us. He's president of the National Organization for Marriage. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me on.
The Washington Post had a recent article about the Democratic ticket and same-sex marriage. Obergefell, that decision was 5 years ago. Why is the Washington Post revisiting that issue?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with trying to increase the left-wing appeal of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. As you know, the Democratic primary was very heated, and there was a ton of enthusiasm for more left-wing candidates, more extreme candidates like Bernie Sanders. And there's been a lot of criticism of Kamala Harris over her policing being too aggressive from the point of view of the left in the Democratic Party, and also obviously continued criticism of Biden as not being left-wing enough, not being progressive enough. So I think that the purpose of the article was to say, well, look, Joe Biden, before President Obama ever came out for same-sex marriage, Joe Biden did, and Kamala Harris refused to enforce the law in California and helped usher in same-sex marriage by refusing to defend the law. And that is true. Kamala Harris did do that. And the fact that she refused to defend the law did have an effect in bringing same-sex marriage to the United States.
So what was your general reaction to the Washington Post story?
Well, look, I think it's good that people who share my point of view, people who understand that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, that the state does not have the place to redefine that institution, that what we have right now is a lie in the law. I think it's good that the Post is covering the issue at all, because it reminds people that this was not a just or democratic change to our law, that this actually occurred through backroom deals and refusal of the judiciary to do what it should do, but also of elected officials, of executive branch officials. To make this more clear, in 200 years, the executive branch, the Department of Justice, has always been committed to defending laws, even laws that it does not support. However, with Proposition 8 and with DOMA, our federal courts, under President Obama, after he had his public shift, after Biden had had his shift to support same-sex marriage, Eric Holder simply refused to defend the law. And former Attorney General Ed Meese, many others said that this was an absolute catastrophe for the rule of law. So that's just one example. There are so many examples of how Democratic elected officials didn't care how the people voted in California or any of the 30 or so other states that define marriage as the union of a man and a woman. And not only did they disagree with it, they were willing to use their power of office, their executive power, to basically throw those votes in the trash. That is not the way our system of government is supposed to work. And it looks more like a banana republic than it does a functioning republic. And that's the history here. You wouldn't get that from the Post article, but anyone that wants to look can see that history.
What specific role did Biden play in the Obama administration's shift on same-sex marriage? You mentioned it a moment ago. Take us through the story.
Well, the story is that back in 2012, I mean, President Obama had said that he did not support same-sex marriage. That had been his position during the presidential debates. That had been his position in the entire course of his career running for president. Now, before he ran for president, as senator, he had actually said that he had supported same-sex marriage. But that changed because he knew the American people would not go for that, that that was too risky politically. So in about 2012, the backstory is there was talk about President Obama formally changing his position. And they were prepared to do that because they saw that there was the possibility of redefining marriage through failing to defend the Defense of Marriage Act and also the lawsuit over Proposition 8 in California, which had defined marriage in California as the union of a man and a woman, but which the courts had overturned. So there was talk about Obama changing his position, but he hadn't figured out how to roll it out. Lo and behold, Vice President Biden goes on a talk show, and when he is asked, he says, well, essentially he says, I support a man and a man, a woman and a woman getting the same benefits as a man and a woman in a marriage in the United States, something to that effect. He essentially came out and endorsed same-sex marriage. Now, the administration was not prepared for that. This is one of the examples of, in modern politics, usually things, big announcements for presidential administrations have historically been orchestrated. This was not orchestrated, and it forced the president to come out earlier than he otherwise would have in support of same-sex marriage. I think it's wrong to say that Biden somehow changed President Obama's mind on this. That's absurd. Anyone familiar with what folks have written who were in the administration knows that they were already moving in the direction of having President Obama endorse same-sex marriage. I do think, though, that Biden's announcement made that happen more quickly than it would have otherwise.
So you don't believe it was coordinated to allow President Obama some cover to publicly announce his, I think what he called his evolution on that issue?
That was one story, but I don't think that that's accurate. I think initially a lot of people thought that, but the more people have discussed within the administration what occurred, that it was an example. Joe Biden has a long history of saying things off the cuff that doesn't always work all that well for him. But I think this was one of the examples. Now, sometimes it does. Sometimes speaking off the cuff and having an image of just saying how you feel helps. So I think that that's the Biden gets both the negatives and positives of often just speaking off the top of his head. I think that's the case here. Again, there's an argument to be made for a different point of view that this was orchestrated. I don't think that's the case. And people within the administration say that's not the case.
Refresh your memory on the Defense of Marriage Act and what happened during the Obama administration.
Well, again, this seems like quite a while ago, but it really was not that long ago. Back in 1996, Congress, pretty overwhelming majority, passed what's known as the Defense of Marriage Act, which essentially said that states could not be forced to recognize same-sex marriages from other states. There's more to it than that. There are three parts. But marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and the states have the right to define marriage as the union of a man and a woman. That was the key point of DOMA. So that one state, say New York, passed same-sex marriage, it couldn't go to another state and forced to be recognized. They could not be forced to be recognized. So it attempted to protect the state's right to continue to define marriage as the union of a man and a woman. However, with the Proposition 8 fight, and with, as some states started to have same-sex marriage. Again, this was mainly through the legal imposition. States like Connecticut started to recognize same-sex marriages from other states, regardless of what the Defense of Marriage Act had said. And so essentially what happened is that through a case called the Windsor case, there were other cases, but essentially a case out of New York where a couple that had been in a quote-unquote same-sex marriage from another state moved to the state of New York. And I'm not going to get into all the details that had to do with a will and intestacy, but essentially the state of New York did not recognize the same-sex marriage, therefore would not automatically give the estate to the same-sex partner. So it's complicated, but essentially the state of New York did not recognize the same-sex marriage. In that case, it's very important to note that the state of New York essentially refused, first of all, to enforce DOMA. First, the attorney general, going totally outside of his purview, decided to refuse to enforce his own state laws and instead to say same-sex marriage should be recognized. That made its way all the way through the courts. And in that case, again, the federal government simply refused to defend a duly enacted law of Congress, just refused to do it. And this again, goes against the entire history of the executive branch defending laws of Congress. And so Congress had to figure out a way to defend it themselves, which they did. Now, ultimately, on a split decision, the Supreme Court overturned DOMA, and that was basically, again, another Anthony Kennedy betrayal of the law. And on a 5-4 decision, we saw our court essentially say that Congress does not have the right to do what America had always done, allow the states to protect marriage as the union of a man and a woman. So the fact that the government didn't defend the law, you know, helped to allow it to eventually be overturned by the Supreme Court.
Brian Brown is our guest, president of the National Organization for Marriage. We're going to talk about California's Proposition 8. He's been very involved in that in the past. And what actions did Kamala Harris take or not take in California with respect to Proposition 8?
How do we defend children's rights? Well, there's one very simple but hard answer to that. And it is that adults need to do hard things.
Katie Faust of Them Before Us, speaking at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Too often, we expect children to do the hard things in marriage and family situations. What about when adults are facing a struggling marriage? If the adults decide, we just can't work this out, what they're really saying is, this cross is too heavy for me. Here, kids, you take it instead.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Katie Faust's presentation, Making the Case for Children's Rights, from this year's Making the Case Conference. For a tax-deductible donation of $250, you can download an audio and video recording. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Let's speak the truth. Let's pass the Equality Act in the United States of America. Let's speak the truth. that the fight for LGBTQ rights is a fight for civil rights. And until all of us are equal, none of us are equal, and none of us will receive justice.
That's Kamala Harris speaking at a human rights campaign dinner last year, expressing her support for the Equality Act. We're talking about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris on gay marriage. Brian Brown is our guest president of the National Organization for Marriage. Turning to Kamala Harris, you were very involved in California's Prop 8. What was that proposition and what actions did Harris take in California with respect to it?
Well, Proposition 8 was another duly enacted law of the state of California. It was not only a law, it was a constitutional amendment. In California, you can have a constitutional amendment through direct referendum. We, in Proposition 8, I helped gather the 650,000 signatures necessary to get it on the ballot. There's a backstory where the state was, even though there had already been a statute saying marriage was the union of a man and a woman, again, passed by the voters in an overwhelming fashion, even in the state of California, the courts were in the middle of overturning that. And so there were already same-sex marriages occurring before Prop 8 ever passed. But Prop 8, against all odds and against everyone saying you would never pass a constitutional amendment to the California Constitution defining marriage as the union of a man or woman, California is far too liberal, this will never happen. Well, lo and behold, again, in 2008, the voters came out, and even in liberal California, they voted by about 53%, 52.5% majority to amend the Constitution to define marriage as the union of a man and a woman. Now, there's a long story as to how that happened. Frank Schubert was the campaign manager. He was just excellent and also went through a lot of attacks for being willing to manage the Proposition 8 campaign. As I said, I was involved. I moved there, and it was an amazing experience. But there was a lot of vitriol and hatred that came after Prop 8 passed. There was white powder sent to the Knights of Columbus. There were attacks on Mormon temples. There were death threats against donors. The same-sex marriage forces really had not believed that they could lose California. But again, instead of accepting the will of the people, the fact that the people of California had voted for this, and saying, well, we will overturn this by making our own referendum, which the same-sex marriage proponents easily could have done, they immediately went to the courts. And first they went through the courts in California. They lost in the state of California. And then they went to federal courts trying to make a brand new federal claim out of thin air against all history that somehow our founding fathers and our Constitution required same-sex marriage. That is preposterous at its face, but using a number of arguments, they were able to get a judge to side with them in California. And most importantly, first of all, Jerry Brown refused to defend the constitutionality of Proposition 8. Again, he refused to defend the voters of his state. As Attorney General, his job was to defend the duly enacted laws of California. Proposition 8 was a duly enacted law of California. He simply said, I'm not going to do it. Now, that's where Kamala Harris comes into the picture, because she, as the next attorney general, also refused to defend the law. What does that mean? That means that the sponsors of the referendum were forced to attempt to defend the law because no one was defending it. And unfortunately, they were essentially told, no, you don't have the right to defend the law if the attorney general does not defend it. So had we had a vigorous defense of Proposition 8, there is a chance that this would not have occurred. But again, we did not. And there's a lot of other legal issues that have to do with how Proposition 8 ended up at the Supreme Court. And there were already a bunch of same-sex marriages occurring in California. I think that that also may have played a role, the fact that, well, the state of California was already acting like Prop 8 was invalid, and that put pressure, I think, on the courts to to overturn it and to also overturn the law, duly enacted laws of most of the country. So it was devastating, and it does point back to the failure of Kamala Harris to do her job.
Did Harris's inaction there pave the way for same-sex marriage in the courts?
I wouldn't say it was only Harris. Harris followed the lead of Jerry Brown. But yes, Jerry Brown and Kamala Harris did pave that road because they, you know, again, they simply refused to defend a law. An attorney general does not need to like the laws he or she defends. That isn't their obligation. Their obligation is to defend the laws of their state, regardless of whether they like them or not. And they simply refused to do it. And it's a total failure. And I think all of this politicization of the law, the clear refusal to do your job if you don't agree with the law, using your power to overturn laws you don't like, I think that's all helped usher in the chaos and polarization that we see all around us today. That now, you know, I do think that 20 or 30 years ago, there was a much deeper respect for the law as something that even if you disagreed with, you accepted the fact that everyone had their say, there was a process, and it needed to be defended. I think that's largely gone. I think we're now largely in a place where if people disagree with the law, even if you have power, then use your power to undermine it. Again, that does not bode well for a republic form of government.
Biden has pledged to support the Equality Act. What is it?
It's a nuclear bomb. The Equality Act is a nuclear bomb on faith communities and any communities or individuals who have a traditional understanding of marriage and sexuality. Say you're an organization that does not accept the notion that a boy can turn into a girl because they decide that they're going to be a girl and they're going to now use girls' restrooms. Well, under the Equality Act, you're going to be sued. Guarantee you, you'll be sued. Because the Equality Act essentially says that any attempt to delineate male and female is discrimination. That the example I gave, showers, locker rooms, any area where a religious organization or other organization attempts to live up to its ideals, even potentially when it comes to marriage, because that's already happening, they're welcoming lawsuits. So say you're a church that doesn't recognize same-sex marriage, that understands marriage as the union of a man and a woman, say the Catholic Church, and say in your hiring practices, in your schools, you say, well, anyone that's hired for us, a part of what they're doing is being a minister, because our whole reason for having our own private schools is to teach our faith. Or this equally works for evangelical Protestants, Mormons, Orthodox Jews, any private school. Well, under the Equality Act, you are going to be sued if you say that supporting same-sex marriage, living in a same-sex marriage, being a man and deciding that you're now a woman and going through a transgender change as a teacher at one of these schools is not acceptable, well, you are going to be sued. So that is why it's a bomb. It's a bomb on freedom of association, freedom of religion, rights of conscience. And luckily, right now, it doesn't have a chance passing. But some Republicans, like Susan Collins, have unfortunately endorsed it. And I do think that you have a real threat of it passing if the Biden-Harris ticket wins.
We'll talk about that very scenario on the other side of the break. We're discussing Joe Biden and Kamala Harris on gay marriage. Brian Brown, president of the National Organization for Marriage, is our guest.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Brian Brown of the National Organization for Marriage about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris on gay marriage. In about 5 minutes, we'll have Dr. Jeff Gibbs lead us in a teaching on the martyrdom of John the Baptist, and then we'll conclude today's show talking with Lila Rose of Live Action about the abortion drug Mifeprex. Brian, we were talking before the break about the Equality Act. In June, I believe, Biden declared that if elected, the Equality Act would be his top legislative priority. What does that mean?
Well, what it means is that the president can use his bully pulpit to do a lot of things. They're not always successful, as Obama found out. Sometimes they have to try and rule with pen. But I think that there is a real threat that Biden uses the bully pulpit to push this through, especially if Republicans lose the Senate and fail to retake the House. But I think it points to something deeper. You know, in the past, Biden has been perceived as more moderate. I think that it shows you the direction of the Democrat Party, that the number one legislative priority is undermining the freedom of religion and association in this country through the Equality Act. That never would have happened 15 or 20 years ago. And I don't think it's because the American people have changed. What has changed is pretty simple, that the Democratic Party is now controlled by its pretty hard left. And the voters aren't hard left, but the money and the infrastructure is. And they call the shots. And that is why Biden has made this change. Further, unfortunately, the Democratic Party has largely purged very sane voices of moderation. There are very few pro-life Democrats. Dan Lipinski's loss recently in Illinois is just a nail in the coffin for the old blue dog Democratic caucus. It's gone. And so really, I think the choice now is very stark for people of faith, people who understand how important marriage is, the union of a man and woman remains, even if our law says that our ideas are wrong, doesn't matter, that we have a very stark contrast between the Republican and Democratic Party. Again, I don't think the Republicans are always great on this issue, but they're far, far better on pro-life, pro-family. President Trump has been excellent on the pro-life issue. He hasn't done as much on the marriage issue, but on transgender issues, he stood up. And most importantly, you don't have a purge going on of Republicans willing to speak out on issues like this. Recently, a congressman from California just introduced a bill to do something that I think is just common sense, ban the mutilation of children through transgender surgery while they're minor. These are irrevocable medical procedures that we're performing on young children without them being adults being able to even understand. So I think that the fact that a Republican congressman from California can still introduce such a bill just shows you the great divide on social issues between the parties. I think the divide is as stark as it's ever been, even though I've been critical of the Republicans weakening on social issues. There has been some weakening, but it's still a stark difference to what the Democratic Party has embraced.
Finally, a municipality in Massachusetts recently voted to allow polyamorous marriage. Is there any limiting principle in the Equality Act that would prevent polyamorous marriage to advance legally just as same-sex marriage did?
Well, logically, no. I mean, logically, there's no limiting principle in Obergefell. If our starting point is that marriage is what we want it to be, if our starting point is, well, why not confer the rights and benefits of marriage on a two men or two women? It's discrimination not to. Then why don't we also say it's discrimination to not allow three, four, five people to engage in marriage? If all marriage is a bundle of benefits for the state to confer at will, then there is absolutely zero logical reasoning behind limiting marriage to two people. The reason marriage has traditionally and always in the United States been limited to two people is because it's based on the binary nature of us as human beings, as male and female, and that we complement each other, and that the union of a man and a woman may potentially bring new life into the world. And we ideally want children to have both a mother and a father. This is all laid out in a great book called What is Marriage by Professor Robert George and Ryan Anderson, but it's the classical argument for marriage as the union of a man and a woman. Polyamory, we predicted. I mean, you hate to be right about things like this, but we said, well, this is definitely what's next. And it is. It is what's next. And if you accept the logic of the sexual radicals who pushed same-sex marriage, I don't see how you can deny it. The way to deny it is to stand on principle and for Americans to continue to stand up for the truth that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. We've had our laws tell lies before when we said that slaves were less than human beings, when we said that it was okay to forcibly take people that the state deemed as idiots and perform procedures on them so they couldn't have children. Our government did all this. And it currently says that it's okay to abort little human life. So we already have lies in the law. One of the other lies in the law is same-sex marriage. And no matter how much pressure is put upon people of faith, again, Christians, Orthodox Jews, whatever faith people are, and even people who are of no faith but understand, like the ancient pagans, that there's something unique about marriage, all of us are in this together. Not to capitulate, not to give up this idea just because there's overwhelming social pressure.
Brian Brown is president of the National Organization for Marriage. You'll find a link to the National Organization for Marriage at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Brian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Jeff Gibbs joins us on the other side of the break. He's author of the Concordia Commentaries on Matthew. We will remember the martyrdom of John the Baptist.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland, is just like any other Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.